there's no place like home for the holidays. And no matter how far away you roam, if you pine for the sunshine of a friendly gaze, for the holidays you can.
Welcome back to Horror for the Holidays, a Christmas horror movie podcast. I'm Jay Logsdon.
And I'm Jeff Searcy.
Here under protest, you told me, Jeff.
Yeah, because you know what, Jay? This sucks. Having to podcast on Arbor Day of all days.
I know, it's...
I hate podcasting. Oh, shit. Howdy, audience. Happy Arbor Day.
That's right. It's Arbor Day. We've got a... It's spring has sprung here. Let's see. We had a beautiful sunny day that was interrupted by
a nice hailstorm.
By hail, and we're in a tornado watch. And now the hail is cleared, and
it's nice, eerily calm.
Yep, and sunny, and the clouds have broken, and the sun's broken out. All that to say, if for whatever reason we have to like pause this in the middle because of a tornado, just letting all of you know at the top of the episode.
All this to say, Jeff could have waited 5 more minutes and not been soaked on his pocket.
He could have, but he didn't. That's how dedicated he is.
That's right.
To even working on Arbor Day.
Even though I got called in on fucking Arbor Day. Apparently holidays just don't mean something to some people.
Easter, Christmas, whatever. Who gives a shit? Arbor Day, the most important holiday?
I mean, my wife was making a pine-fired ham for Arbor Day, and now I'm going to miss it.
Well, maybe suffer. Jeff, you don't think she's got easy cheese and Triscuits, do you?
Oh, she does.
Oh, shit. Does. All right, well, episode's over.
She made my favorite meal, and still I'm here podcasting on Arbor Day.
Well, Jeff, it's time to plant a tree as we talk about 1990's Arbor Day.
Ooh.
Released December 22nd, 1990.
Not what you wanted to see, folks.
Yep. Directed by Joseph Sikorsky. Screenplay by Michael Calamino and Joseph Sikorsky.
Yes.
Scott Bradshaw is Mr. Jacobs / the Doctor / I think it's Raymond.
Yeah.
Chris Calamino, his Pitbull,
yes.
Mr. Worldwide himself.
You know why they call me Pitbull, Jay? Because I latch on to something I never let go.
Michael Calamino, the writer, is also the detective.
Yes.
Janine Carney is Rachel. John Dorchich is Charlie / Beatnik. Don Graziano is Stacy. Timmy O'Shaughnessy is Bobby. El Diablo is Sir Nigel Rivendell III. Lynn Smith is Jennifer / Nurse. Daniel Walsh is Briggs / Steward / Mrs. Jacobs. And Paul Walsh is Cassandra / Lab Worker. And most importantly, William Walsh is Elmer Jacobs.
Oh, my God.
So I could find very little about this movie. However, because I bought the deluxe Terror Vision one, I do have a couple... little notes.
Okay.
So this did get a limited theatrical release.
Mostly in New York City.
Yeah, mostly in New York City. And it was considered like a New York, like, indie film staple. Like, they would play it for, like, midnight movies and stuff like that. The name of the fans were Daisies in honor of Elmer's outfit, but also the day for Arbor Day.
Right.
Though featured throughout cable news and radio, Arbor Day's success came mostly from word of mouth. In an age of promotion prior to the internet, the filmmakers distributed flyers for each show dressed as cast members from a pickup truck embellished with dioramas, lighting, and sound system. The audiovisual promotional vehicle became a favorite of the Daisies, the nickname given to the cult fans of the film, the term referred to today in Arbor Day, as well as the unusual mask worn by the movie's Elmer. And another thing I found, one night they started filming in the height of summer and they finished filming in December on the coldest day
I was gonna say, you could definitely tell.
Like what was established as the coldest day in years by like the New York newspapers like later.
Nice.
Also, to avoid traffic noise, some scenes were shot in one take very late at night, including the death of Charlie and El Diablo by Weed Whacker. The loud screams over what must have sounded like a chainsaw engine quickly garnered attention. A moment after the movie lights snapped off, siren lights from police cars flashed on as they proceeded to slowly patrol the area. The filmmakers quickly broke down the chute and hid quietly while authorities looked for evidence of a horrible murder.
Yes. Well, if they'd looked hard enough, they would have found it.
Arbor Day won the 1991 Long Island Film Festival for Best New Feature.
It should have, yes.
And the original idea for Arbor Day, and this is something right up our alley, Jeff, the original idea was to be a 22-minute television program where they would shoot, like, so Arbor Day would be, like, the segments of the actual television program, and then they were going to make a bunch of fake ads.
Ah.
But they determined that it would just be easier for their $48,000 budget or whatever to just make the whole movie
right
with the Arbor Day thing and kind of forego the whole fake ad
thing. Oh, yeah, because you're going to do the fake ads, and you got to bring in a lot of extra actors, more sets, more decoration, all that stuff. So, yeah, I could see. You're at a limited budget. Movie's probably the way to go.
There's a whole documentary you can watch either if you buy the Blu-ray version, 4K Blu-ray version from TerraVision, or I believe if you go to like ArborDayMovie.com, you can watch the documentary on their webpage.
Do it.
You should.
Go to their web zone if you want a pizza roll.
Where to watch? Tubi. Buy a Blu-ray copy from TerraVision.
I mean, you should just buy it. This is one of those you need to have.
Personal experience, literally nothing. I this popped up as a TerraVision pre-order, I think, like last year, and I just went, oh, Jeff and I would watch a movie called Arbor Day for the podcast, so I bought it knowing nothing about it.
Yes.
Other than the Daisy Masked Killer, and it's changed my life.
My only experience with it was Jay saying, hey, I'm buying a movie called Arbor Day. I saw it come up for pre-order.
Yep.
I'm like, oh boy, that'll be exciting for next Arbor Day in 9 months. And then I forgot about it.
Yep. And now it's Arbor Day time.
Done it again. I mean, I forgot about the movie. I would never forget about Arbor Day, one of our most important holidays.
Probably the most important holiday.
I mean, for most people, yeah. I mean, I could see, you know, maybe so there's some more religious holidays. If you're a hardliner, you know, maybe that takes more precedence, but Arbor Day is something everybody can celebrate.
St. Stephen's Day, days like that.
Yeah. Krampusnacht.
All right, let's do our synopsis here. Real fast, the movie is like dedicated to the memory of Graham Chapman. My initial reaction was, they can't mean the Monty Python guy, can they?
But they did.
They did. And it's evident by their production company logo that is very Monty Python inspired. We get ominous music playing in a black and white scene as we see a gate with keep out sign on it. And then the camera kind of pans up to reveal this old farmhouse sitting behind the gate. Inside, an old man lays in bed and says, Arbor Day.
Obviously, Citizen Kane reference.
Yep, as a teddy bear falls out of his hand and falls to the floor as he dies. A nurse and doctor wonder what he could have meant by those final words. And the doctor says, it happened a long time ago. In color. We go to color and we see a young Elmer and his mom and dad are going to plant a tree for Arbor Day. But they are being watched in POV as a beatnik approaches them and tells them that they dropped their bag. And then wishes them a happy Arbor Day and continues on his way. How fortuitous.
Indeed.
They run into a forest ranger who is pissed that he has to work on Arbor Day of all days.
Don't forget, Dad almost died from wearing long sleeves.
Yeah, it's too hot out. Just the forest ranger is genuinely doing a bad job killing animals.
Breaking up a tree root, I think, with his shovel.
And then also starting a fire in the forest. The Jacobs family plants a tree and they're settling down for a picnic when a bear approaches. Elmer is scared of the bear, but his dad says it's mating season, so the bear is either hungry or hungry for love. the dad puts like a Fig Newton in his mouth.
Well, first he's like, feeds one to the bear, and it's all good. He's like, you know, oh, I'm sure this bear encounters people so often he's practically tame, son.
He puts it in his mouth for the bear to eat out of his mouth, and the bear swats one hand at him, launching his head off, decapitating it from its body. It lands in front of Elmer, and then, while decapitated, says, Elmer, run! But instead of running, Elmer stands and watches as the bear approaches Elmer's mom, swipes one claw, ripping her clothes off because he's hungry for love.
Mm-hmm.
The bear then fucks and kills Elmer's mom.
Ooh.
And we cut to Elmer, now in a psychiatric facility.
And I want
to
point out, very importantly, this is a real bear, not a man in a bear suit.
Not a man in a bear suit.
Elmer got the shit slapped out of him for making that mistake.
No, we need to pretend like it's a real bear. The doctors are talking about why Elmer is there and how his brainwaves only seem to spike on Arbor Day. Like, he knows that it's Arbor Day.
From a reliable source, Jay, that his power has been growing every Arbor Day.
And we get this long extended scene of, like, just continuous bear things in front of Elmer. Yes.
The nurse brings in bear pancakes, of course, has a baseball game with the Cubs on, then flips the channel to some bears fighting.
And there's like five or six different things with bears on them. And then the doctor's like, you might as well just go up to him and be like, Elmer, I'm a bear.
Rawr, rawr, I'm a bear. I killed your mother. Rawr. See, something like that. Every time we mention bear, it lengthens his recovery. Anyway, we have to go play golf.
Yeah, they leave to go play golf, and it, you know, and it's almost like maybe Elmer knows that tomorrow is Arbor Day.
It's close, very close.
Later that night, Briggs the janitor comes in and taunts Elmer with a teddy bear, but the clock strikes midnight, and Elmer breaks out of his restraints and pins Briggs to the door, and then starts ripping Briggs's guts out with his bare hands as Briggs says, "This is really taking a lot out of me."
I also want to point out that the restraints at a mental hospital was a yellow rope tied loosely around our character.
Title card and opening credits play as a hard rock song about it being Arbor Day plays.
Arbor Day.
It's my time to sow
my seed.
Arbor Day. Time to reap what you sow. And it's and then we see Elmer murdering people and taking their clothes to make his costume.
He only takes one item of clothing from each person, of course.
So he goes, like, he kills one guy, takes his... Elmer's nude.
Yes.
Kills one guy, takes his boots.
Yes, of course.
Then goes, kills another guy, takes his overalls.
Yes.
And then kills a kid and takes, like, his little bandana.
Yes.
And then proceeds...
Building my outfit.
And then proceeds to use paper and a knife to cut out the daisy, yes. The
oh
daisy
my God,
mask.
Yes, to cutting out the leaves, the petals for the flower.
Stacy, Pitbull, Jennifer, and Charlie are all looking for a place to camp for Arbor Day. There isn't much separating Stacy and Jennifer. They're kind of interchangeable characters. But Pitbull is kind of the stoner leader of the group, and Charlie is the prankster. On the radio, they hear a broadcast about Elmer escaping, but they ignore it because all radio is these days is just news and commercials.
They listen to the entire thing up until the part where they're like, he's heading towards, and then she clicks it off. Yeah, it's like, it's all ads these days.
Tagging along with them is Bobby and his older sister, Rachel.
Ooh. This basically, it's your classic 80s, like a Friday the 13th camper group or whatever, essentially.
Yes, absolutely. Back at the hospital, a detective is getting information so he can hunt down Elmer.
There's no way I'm going to be able to figure out where the psycho will pop up.
And on Arbor Day of all days.
Gotta be chasing some freak.
Back with the campers, they find this old rundown house, and then a crazy old hillbilly runs out telling them that the house is cursed because it's the old Jacob's place.
The house is cursed. If you go in there, you go, die, I tell you. Well, anyway.
The detective is doing research and calls his wife to say he'll be late tonight because he's trying to track down this killer and that he'll miss Arbor Day dinner. But his wife talks him into coming home just for a little bit because she's got easy cheese.
Well, yeah, I mean, you got to go home for the traditional Arbor Day feast.
The gang settles into the old Jacob's place, and we get kind of more of their personalities playing out. And then Stacy goes down to the basement to find the fuse box, and she loudly says, "Fuses, my lucky day." And then immediately gets hit over the head with a shovel.
It is not her lucky day.
And then Elmer proceeds to dig her apart with the shovel.
Yeah, and he's not really thrilled with what he finds in there either. He picks up, like, he got a liver, ugh, throws that away, kidney, kind of looks at it, tosses that. I don't know, maybe he's looking for something.
Elmer then looks sad as the Ballad of Elmer Jacobs starts to play. And we get like a slow, sad ballad, yes, about like how you can't judge Elmer because your parents were never killed by a bear.
I mean, it's true, Jay.
And we get him like helping like a drug addict and helping a homeless person.
His parents were killed by a grizzly bear.
And it's just, it's wild. It's truly nuts.
On the warm side of the door.
Bobby says that he, we then cut to back to the house. Bobby says that he saw Stacy's body, but when they go to investigate it, it's all gone. Oh. And he's like, there was viscera everywhere. And then,
what's wrong, man? No viscera.
Pitbull's like, oh man, I gotta see this viscera. And then he's, oh, no viscera. Charlie gets the fuse box working. Fuses, my lucky day, yes, he says.
Oh my god, it would have been so great if he'd also had his head smacked off with a shovel.
The hillbilly is then watching them from outside, muttering about how he warned them, but little does he know that Elmer is behind him. Elmer shoves a hose down his throat.
This is the first time you get a good look at the mask, too. Yeah.
As the hillbilly, like, shoves the hose down the hillbilly's throat and then starts to fill him up with water till he pops like a water balloon.
I also want to note that Elmer starts off ridiculously far away from this guy and he stands there the entire time and screams instead of trying to run away. Oh, and he also lifts up his eye patch to reveal his other good working eye. Yep. When he gets scared.
We cut back to the detective who's eating his Arbor Day dinner and watching The Wizard of Oz, while Bobby is in the basement putting his mechanical engineering degree to work as we get a montage of the two of them each doing their own thing.
And this guy's about 12, maybe.
Yeah, he's like your classic like little kid.
It's a real
80s kid.
Real Home Alone kid. Honestly, he reminds us of another resourceful young boy that fought some murderous killer.
Yep.
You know, who played a deadly game.
Happy birthday, Christmas. Happy Arbor Day. Happy birthday, Arbor Day.
Happy Arbor Day, Elmer.
Charlie goes out looking for Scruffy the cat, not Stacy. He's not interested in finding Stacy.
Oh no, he literally says, I'm going to go look for her. Like, you think he's going to look for Stacy, and then he's like, Scruffy!
He then finds Scruffy hanged from like the top of the tool shed, yep, and then a weed whacker starts up, and Elmer is about to weed whack Charlie in half, but it runs out of gas, and Charlie's like, ha ha, out of gas, and taunts Elmer, so Elmer just hits his head off with the weed whacker.
Oh yeah, of course, as you do. I mean, I'm glad he did that, because I don't know how long it would take you to carve through somebody with a weed whacker. That'd be a while.
Jennifer decides to try to call the police for help, and as she does, Elmer repeatedly tries to cut the phone line to no success.
No, see, first he cuts the power, and then he's like, oh, man, wrong cable. And then, yes, he starts to try to cut the phone line, because, of course, this phone call is, like, not urgent at all. She's flirting with the cop, everything, and he's just trying everything. Finally, he gives up and goes and gets the circular saw, which, of course, he tries to plug in, but he cut the power line, so it doesn't work. So then he has to patch the power line back together. Then he celebrates when he gets the saw to power on. Then it takes him about another 5 minutes to cut through the line.
And by this time, she has hung up and left.
The call's over, yes.
Jennifer runs into Pitbull, and they go and fuck outside, and Elmer approaches. Tosses a bunch of bags of potting soil on top of them, crushing and killing them. Rachel sits with Bobby in the basement and says she's going upstairs. We now do the thing where she slowly finds all the bodies and gets chased around the house by Elmer. And she is suddenly unable to open doors.
Yes, I love that. As suddenly every door in the house won't open.
Elmer starts to strangle Rachel, but she stabs him in the eye. Well, in the eye of the costume with a corkscrew. It doesn't actually puncture his eye. Elmer then chases her around the house some more and is about to kill her. Cut to the detective admitting he can't solve this case, except Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz is saying there's no place like home. And he goes, home!
Of course! But yeah, he's like, there's no way I could figure out where this kind of freak will pop up. And there's no place like home.
Home!
Of course, he gets up, heroically leaving his cheese whiz and Triscuits.
Back to Elmer, who has a vision of living in marital bliss with Rachel, and they even have a baby.
With a mini,
Daisy also mask. Wearing a daisy mask. She's like, Rachel's wearing, it's the same house with no spider webs everywhere. Like, it's shot, like, in daytime in real soft focus. Rachel's wearing, like, a full-on, like
50s housewife dress. 50s
housewife. Yeah. And Elmer comes home still wearing the daisy mask, but then wearing a full business suit.
Yes.
She is polishing his pruning shears, and then he swaps them out for a trowel, and she starts cleaning that.
Course.
It is outstanding. And then Elmer, and just when you think, like, Elmer's developed a soft spot, oh, he's gonna let her go, Elmer looks at the camera and goes, nah. Bobby emerges from the basement in a fighting machine that he made. It says, I'm gonna mulch your ass, you psychotic freak. And Elmer just reaches down and twists Bobby's head 360 degrees,
as you do. You know, big flaw not building a helmet onto your Iron Man suit, I gotta say.
Elmer is about to corner Rachel again, but knocks himself out by stepping on a hoe. He then recovers and is about to kill her with a hand rake when the detective runs in with a machine gun and just unloads the entire gun into Elmer.
Yes.
And they go to leave, but Elmer recovers again, starts to strangle the detective, but the detective is able to trigger Bobby's machine, which a boxing glove punches Elmer and knocks him out.
Yes.
And then it's set to explode. Rachel and the detective escape just as the house explodes.
Halloween 2 style.
And they get into his car, and they're like, oh, we're safe. And then Elmer pops out from the back seat.
It's one of the things I love so much about Arbor Day, Jay, is it goes ahead and does all the sequels here in the last 20 minutes.
They flee the car, but run into Elmer again, who we last saw in the backseat of the car.
He somehow survived that without a scratch and is now ahead of them, demonstrating Jason-level teleportation powers.
And then the detective goes, I'm going to chop you down to size with my beaver-style kung fu.
But unfortunately, Elmer is also practiced in the art of kung fu.
We then get this fight scene, which starts with kung fu, switches to boxing, then to a thumb war, and then to Elmer and the detective playing Monopoly. And when Elmer loses, he picks up the Monopoly board,
as you do,
and then closes it and knocks the detective out with it. Rachel runs back to the car, and, like, the window's half up, so Elmer, like, tries to climb inside through the window. Rachel escapes through the other side, goes to the trunk, opens it, finds a can of gas, covers the entire car in gasoline, and lights it on fire, with Elmer trapped. And she goes to get the detective, and Elmer's once again just stalking them again. Yep. And just when you think, like, oh, Elmer's got him cornered, the bear that fucked his mom and killed his dad shows up and rips Elmer apart piece by piece. The detective then goes, thanks a lot, Smokey. And the bear's now wearing a Smokey the Bear hat, says, no problem, and that only we can prevent forest fires. Rachel is now in the psychiatric hospital, and the doctor says Arbor Day will never be the same for her. And they leave to go play another round of golf. And then Rachel turns and looks at the camera and is holding a hand rake, and she smiles.
Very Curse of Michael Myers.
Back in the black and white, the doctor says he made it all up. And then a guy approaches and says he found some more stuff in the vault, but the doctor says to throw it in the fire. And the guy goes and he tosses all the stuff in, including a film canister for Arbor Day. Credits roll as the Arbor Day song plays again.
Arbor Day.
And then we get a coming soon Arbor Day 2 Death Garden. And then we hear the detective say, it's all over. He's dead. And then we see Elmer's, like, decapitated head and his eyes open.
Jason style. Dun, dun, dun.
And ladies and gentlemen, that's Arbor Day.
I mean, what else can we say except that's Arbor Day? And I also want to point out, during the when the fat schlubby detective is fighting Elmer in kung fu battle, of course, him doing beaver style, Elmer, I'm assuming, doing Elm style, he takes a pause, he's breathing heavy, and he's like, oh, his kung fu's good.
Oh, what a movie. Jeff, where would you like to start with? What category are we starting with?
I mean, we might as well do some Arbor Day quotes here.
All right. Your Arbor Day pledge. I don't fucking know what happens on Arbor Day. It's a Nebraska holiday, I'm pretty sure. I did not actually look up Arbor Day, but I'm pretty sure in Nebraska they celebrate Arbor Day. It's like a big deal. I mean, like, they take their kids out of school and stuff for
it. I mean, we celebrated Arbor Day, like, in school. We used to, like, we would go outside and eat lunch in, like, the trees, and we would usually, like, draw tree pictures and stuff. This is, like, first, second, third grade.
I never did shit like that.
Yeah.
Man, I missed out. I missed out on some real Arbor Day.
Yeah. I mean, that's why some of us care about working on Arbor Day, Jay, and some of us don't.
I'm going to mulch your ass, you psychotic freak.
Not in that mech suit, you're not.
That's Bobby.
Oh. I told you shouldn't wear long sleeves. You're going to get overheated. The guy is, like, literally dying on the side of the road because it was a little hot outside. I'm fine.
Young Elmer. Daddy, why does mommy have so much hair on her face? Because the mom's played by a guy.
Yes.
And then Elmer's dad goes, you should see her pits.
Not just a guy, by the way. A very muscular man.
Wearing like a sundress. Yes. Look, Daddy, a man in a bear suit. Young Elmer. And then he gets slapped. Nice. And his dad's like, no, pretend like it's a real bear.
You know, it was really hard to choose because there are literally so many great quotes, but the part where I'm screaming at the top of my lungs, help, help, and he's joking constantly so the girls don't give a shit, and then the weed whacker shuts off, you're out of gas! You're out of gas! And then, yeah, he flips it around and hits him over the head with the engine block and his head flies off.
Poor kid. Imagine not being able to celebrate Arbor Day! The doctor.
The detective on finding one of the... Well, they know that three people at least have been murdered, and he's looking at these photos of the murdered bodies, and he's like, on Arbor Day of all days, this had to happen.
Jennifer, I don't want to go down there. Pitbull, come on, I really want to see that viscera thing.
I had the quote that's the second half of that when they're coming back upstairs. And Pitbull's looking very sad. And they're like, what's wrong, man? No viscera.
No viscera. My last one is Jennifer. I wouldn't call you even if there was a homicidal maniac trying to kill me.
This sucks. I hate this job. And I have to work on Arbor Day? I hate this. Throws a knife, impaling a bird, by the way.
Also, he was, and like, then, picking up trash with, yes, this little, like,
spade thing.
And stabs another bird.
Yes. He's murdering animals left and right, of course, as a park ranger should. But then he sees the family walking up, completely changes his face and everything. He's, ah, howdy, folks. Happy Arbor Day. Remember to be nice to your forest friends.
It's like, oh, such a park ranger. And he's like, assholes.
Yes. And that's if they're walking away as soon as they're out of earshot. Assholes.
I get it, working in a customer-facing job. Yeah.
And then, of course, oh, don't worry, Elm. He's probably tame. He sees so many people. Puts one in the bear's mouth, he eats it, and then puts one in his own mouth. The bear gets his head batted off, and then, of course, comes to life again. Run, Elm! Run, Elm!
Oh, my God, what a movie.
He's probably just hungry. A hungry for love.
Hungry for love. It is mating season.
Oh, not in front of Elmer.
Well, Jeff, Arbor Day spirit. How Arbor Day is this movie, and how Arbor Day are the kills?
I mean, very Arbor Day on the kills. I mean, they're almost all with garden implements. I mean, I don't know how you could get any more Arbor Day than that.
Agreed. And it's on Arbor Day.
It's literally on Arbor Day, completely themed around an event that happened on Arbor Day. And as we've learned in the movie, he grows more powerful each passing Arbor Day.
Yep.
So, couldn't get more Arbor Day. It's going to be hard to top this movie for Arbor Day.
And the kills, I mean, not only that, he's also wearing a a plant-based costume for Arbor Day.
Indeed. I mean, like I said, I'm guessing this is probably going to hold the crown for a while.
And we get an original song about it's Arbor Day.
Yes. I mean, it has all the pieces. If you're going to make a movie about Arbor Day, this has everything you would want.
It does. It has everything you could want. Arbor Day gift. You know, because Arbor Day is the most sacred holiday. We all give each other gifts on Arbor Day to celebrate Arbor Day.
Planting a tree.
Sets, costumes, etc. I think Charlie's whole getup, he's wearing like a shirt that says "Big Butts Drive Me Nuts."
Yes.
And a trucker hat with that boobs has on boobs on it.
Yes, one popping out of the tube top. Yeah. The other one in. I appreciated that. I liked that. I mean, obviously, can we even Elmer's costume as he builds it piece by piece, of course, but the out like the work boots, overalls, and then the big Daisy mask is iconic.
That Daisy mask is so good.
I mean, like many killers that we found, very impractical, but a great mask.
It's so good. Oh, my God.
At one point, he has to like hold it closer to his face when he's trying to open the door. And he's like holding it and he's like, oh, there we go. So even they acknowledged it. It's like, you can't even see out of this fucking thing.
I love the effects. They're so cheap and over the top, but they're so good.
I mean, like, I don't know. They probably just use, like, discarded meat, I'm guessing, for that scene where he's, like, shoveling out her organs and, like, looking at it and tossing it or whatever. But, yeah, it's obvious. It's so fake. It's like two front teeth. The effects are so bad that they're kind of charming.
Yep. The two songs, the two original songs.
I mean, you're going to have a movie that's made on basically a nothing budget have two original songs for the movie. That's insane.
Both songs, like, not only is it just, like, buying, like, you know, or you know, getting, like, you know.
I mean, licensing music is one thing, yeah, but to create two original pieces of music.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And honestly, what an amazing idea. Like, what an amazing parody. What a great idea. Like, this is fantastic. I
mean, you could tell that all these people love 70s and 80s slashers for sure.
I would love to have been in whatever part of New York this was showing at back in like the 90s and go see this goddamn movie. Like,
yeah, I mean, honestly, we may have to relocate to New York eventually, Jay, because that's where all the movie shit is happening. Either that or LA. Although, I don't know if I want to live in L.A.
I love L.A. He doesn't, actually. Rotting tree, blooming tree. One thing you want to fix, Jeff. One thing you want to praise.
Well, you know what? As much as I love this movie, there is a rotting tree that sticks out to me, Jay. And that is, some of these people can't act very well, Jay.
What are you talking about?
I think if we'd had just a little bit more budget, because, I mean, a few of them are really good, and I appreciated it. Like, I love the detective. I mean, obviously, Elmer was great. I don't know if you... He was... especially when he's not wearing his mask, the, like, blank stone face that guy keeps through
how,
the whole
how
thing.
How he wasn't able to, like, just have, like, the biggest shit-eating grin on his face.
Yes, with the shit that was going on, playing this straight must have been very, very difficult. So he was great. But some of the friend group, Jay, especially the two girls, were basically wooden. The little boy was, I don't know what he was trying to do, but it was pretty bad.
In the like the first like 5 minutes of the documentary, the lady who plays Rachel said something along the lines of like, I signed up to be in a movie thinking like, how hard could it be?
Turns out harder than we thought.
And I just kind of admits that as much.
Yeah. But now that's not saying that doesn't, it almost works in the movie's favor at some points, because I mean, in a movie like this, because I mean, people love to idolize like Friday the 13th or whatever, but there are as bad, if not worse, actors in the cast of Killables and some of the Friday the 13th movies that are in this.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's not any big knock against the movie, but yeah, you're going to notice definitely some, I'll say, unevenness in the acting. From people in this.
And I think the people who are the better actors, for the most part, have multiple roles in the movie.
They are definitely carrying it for sure.
My rotting tree. Where the fuck is our Arbor Day 2 Death Garden? I know it was just kind of a joke in this comedy horror movie, but you can't promise me Arbor Day 2 Death Garden and not give me fucking Arbor Day 2 Death Garden.
I mean, if anybody from the Arbor Day team ends up listening to this episode, I think Jay and I could probably pull together enough funding for an Arbor Day 2.
Yeah, we'll crowdfund for Arbor Day 2.
We can definitely. We know some people. I mean, we probably know some people that could help work on it, honestly.
No, absolutely. I think... If they want to, we'll fucking get Arbor Day 2 going.
We can definitely get some cash together for Arbor Day 2.
Blooming tree, thing you want to praise.
You know, it was hard to pick just one thing to praise in this movie because it does a lot of things well. But I'm going to go back to something that I pointed out in my Rotten Tree and just point out the performance of Elmer in this movie was like at least as good as most of the Michael Myers performances and most of the Jason Voorhees performances. Honestly, at certain points in this movie, I think Elmer is more menacing than some of those performances. And he's performing that kind of stoic, like stone-faced murderer, but in basically one of the later Nightmare on Elm Street movies where it's completely wacky and like almost a joke.
Yes.
But he plays it completely straight. He never, not even one time does he break. Even in when he does the nah to the camera, it's like you could see in his eyes he was not considering it at all to be funny.
Like, I think there's even one scene where he does have, like, a big smile on his face, but it doesn't feel like, you know, like, yes, it feels very, like, hollow and wooden. Yes, like, it feels doesn't feel like
a
real
parody of a smile, yeah. Or, like, he's getting some kind of sick pleasure from what he's doing. But, yes, I mean, to be able to pull off some of these kills, like, how the hell do you do the weed whacker kill and not die? How do you not die laughing?
I have no idea. Or how are you not cracking up while you're trying to cut the phone line?
The phone line thing. The board game battle. He is stone-faced for that entire Monopoly game.
And then how the girls aren't losing their mind while the one's on the phone, but you can hear the saw in the background trying to cut through.
Yes, you can hear the power saw outside, yes. No, that probably the funniest moment in the movie for me in the highlight was when he tried to plug in the saw. He already cut the power, and then he looks back and realizes that he had already cut the power, and he's trying to use an electric saw.
I'm wiping tears away from my eyes.
Yes,
my blooming tree is the budget. You know, just south of $50,000. In you know 1980s, early 1990s money. How do you make a movie that's not only this good, but this fucking funny? Like, for you know, $50K, this is hilarious. And you did the conversion. Mm-hmm. You said it was like $150,000 like or something like that.
$150,000 to $180,000 today, yeah.
And I still think, like, some of the shit we've seen for more budget.
Oh, see, that's what I was going to say. This movie just proves that money cannot buy good writing. Because this was made on a shoestring budget and has better writing than a lot of way bigger budget movies.
Yep. Well, Jeff, it's time for our final rating. I had some trouble here. So our we've got those trees that smell like cum. You know the ones I'm talking about?
The ones in Ohio.
Yeah, the ones that smell like cum. We've got the quaking aspen, which is the funniest tree, apparently. And we've got the mighty redwood. Jeff, where does Arbor Day rate for you?
Well, I don't know. I was going to go for a bad rating of Leave Me Alone. But no, I mean, I'm assuming the mighty redwood is the best rating.
Yeah, standing tall.
Yes, standing hard.
Hard and firm and
hard
tall.
Hard and firm and tall, like an oak or a redwood.
Yeah, like a mighty redwood. And it's redwood because of all the scabs from the constant rubbing.
All the chafing, yes.
Redwood.
I'm gonna have to go with Mighty Redwood for this one, Jay. I mean, it was impressive from beginning to end, not only in how well it parodied the slashers, especially, like I said, Friday the 13th and the Michael Myers sequels, especially at the end, the way that Elmer keeps coming back over and over and over again, from no matter what they do to him. It just, the writing was great. There are some great performances in here, like we said, some not so great performances in here too, but I mean, what are you really expecting for people who are probably working for almost nothing? And a real passion project, obviously, for these people to put all this care into it. Even though the effects aren't great, they're good enough to get the point across, and they're, like we said, they're that kind of bad that's almost charming these days, because you know, if something like this was made now, it would be all garbage CGI crap, fake blood and all that, and look terrible. Although, I will say, using the garden rake triggered me about Santa Claus.
Jay. I was also thinking about Santa Claus.
So that's a point against it, but that's not their fault. But, I mean, to not give this a good rating, I think, would just be a disservice to all the effort and the obvious passion that these people put into making this. And to see some of the shit that people say online about it, it really, it's boiling my blood, Jay, just like when people talk shit about John Carpenter. The man's not even dead yet, and you're already ripping apart his work.
This is a mighty redwood. I went into this expecting something to laugh at, like yes. Hollowgate. Mm-hmm. I was not at all expecting something to laugh with. This is a Two Front Teeth. I would say this is like the spiritual brother to Two Front Teeth.
Yes.
There's truly. This movie is just fantastic from start to finish. I was not, and I was not expecting all the slapstick comedy, all the parodies, like literally starting off with a parody of Citizen Kane and then finishing with still continuing the parody of Citizen Kane. And just, all the parodying, all the slasher tropes, doing all the, the final girl who can't run away from the killer.
Can't open doors.
The teleporting killer.
The indestructible killer.
Yeah. The incredibly dumb group of camping friends who just continually like go outside and get picked off one by one.
The escalatingly more stupid ways that they get rid of the killer. Like I said, it does all the sequels at the end of the movie, basically, because they shoot him, then they blow him up, then they light him on fire, and then of course they try to beat him in a physical fight, and then there's a board game battle.
just next level, like. I said, Jeff, you off the air. When I was first looking stuff up about this movie, I thought it was a joke. I thought all the information was a joke on our behalf. Like, I thought, oh, this was made in like 2022, and they're pretending like it came out in 1990.
That's what I thought at first. I'm like, is this like a WNUF thing where it's just shot to look old? Because, it was the snappy dialogue and the references and the humor and everything is like, it seems like something that would have been made like in the 2010s, not, in 1990.
But no, these are this is all real. This is all legit. Cause I was like, oh, is even the, like this movie showed in theaters. Like, is that real? Like, no, it was like all of the stuff is real. Like, this is amazing. This is truly just fantastic. Like what the human spirit can do from an art aspect.
It just shows you, to all the people, especially the people online who lose hope constantly, there's never any good movies. I've watched all the good movies. And then you discover something like this. These things are out there. You just have to look for them.
Since I watched this the first time, I've been recommending it to so many of my horror movie friends. Like, you got to check this out.
You do. You do need to check this out.
Well, Jeff, there's some deforestation going on.
Oh no! Overlogging.
Maybe we're wrong.
I don't think so. As I've told you, I am the only real movie critic that exists, and my opinion is the only one that matters. And anybody who gives me a contrary opinion is dog shit, Jay.
We're not. I don't know if trouble. I did have trouble finding reviews. I would have loved to have found some of those like early like newspaper showings, like what people thought about this.
I found a scathing takedown. Multiple parts, by the way.
But I did. I found this on IMDb, and I don't know. 7 out of 10 feels too low. So maybe high school movie project. Watching this movie, I'm sure this was some sort of high school project made into a movie. Most of the humor is childish, but still funny. Sort of like something the whitest kids you know would put out for their TV show. I was entertained. Lots of gross-out humor. I don't know that there was gross-out humor. Most of which was exaggerated to get a laugh. The budget of the movie was $48,000, and it shows. Almost all the actors seem to be of high school age, and a couple actors even younger, which is why I said it seemed like a high school project. You don't need to justify why you said that. It is still funny and is a good movie to watch while having a buzz. I recommend it and give it a solid 7 for the childish humor. Most of the movie is comedy and it made and it has very little horror. I disagree. It's terrifying. If Elmer was stalking you, you would be fucking terrified. Richard Butch 1916-4. I don't know. Fuck you, Richard. That's what I'm saying. Anyway.
All right. You ready for this?
Sure. Go ahead.
0 stars. Arbor Day 1990. Felt like I had to post this because so many of you idiot horror sycophants keep telling me to watch this garbage.
I don't know how many people would be. Is it like one person was like, hey, you need to check out Arbor Day?
I don't know. Let me get this straight. Someone sat down and said, what if Friday the 13th or Halloween? It's as in weird italics with the one letter bigger and smaller.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I know what you're talking
about. But trees. And instead of being stopped by friends, family, or law enforcement, that idea was allowed to grow unchecked into Arbor Day 1990.
Yeah, but what if Friday the 13th or Halloween but trees?
A movie so aggressively incompetent, it feels like it was filmed as part of a court-ordered punishment. A guy sees his parents die on Arbor Day and comes back years later to kill teens with gardening tools. That's it. That's the movie. That's the pitch. That's the entire creative well, and they still somehow run out of ideas halfway through. Acting so bad it should be illegal. This is section one. Every actor in this movie delivers their lines like, they just found out what acting is, they just read their line 5 minutes before the scene started, and they're actively resenting you for the fact that they have to make a movie. The teens, quote-unquote, at the party, which I think a couple of them were probably close to teens.
Yeah.
I don't know, have the charisma of damp mulch. No one feels like a real human being. They feel like NPCs in a video game that got abandoned halfway through development.
All calling people NPCs.
Oh, boy. And the killer, Elmer Jacobs, moves like a guy who forgot why he walked into the room. Or a guy that decided to murder someone for a bit.
And he did. That's the whole movie. The whole movie's bits.
The kills, or lack thereof, section two. When you think about a movie about a tree-themed killer, kind of clumsy phrasing there, dude, would at least go wild with it. Nope. Instead, you get half-baked garbage, cuts away before anything interesting happens. The weapons look like they're made of plastic in most of the scenes. There are moments where you can practically hear the director say, we'll fix it in post, and then they never did. The production value of this movie is essentially the production value of what I assume a vacant warehouse after a double murder is. It looks like it was filmed on a camcorder found in a ditch, using lighting from a single low-wattage light bulb, in a house that ghosts would probably refuse to haunt. The audio drifts in and out like it's trying to get out of the scene, and the editing feels the editing feels like someone dropped the footage down the stairs and then tried to glue back together what survived. Is this a comedy? Is it a horror movie? Is it a cry for help? I think it's all of these things. No one should ever watch this movie. To say that this has anything worth seeing or anything clever is to do a disservice to all the people who work hard on real movies. This movie feels like a parody made by people who only heard what horror movies are like through a third party. And let's just talk about the wasted opportunity. On Arbor Day, really, there's nothing tree-themed in this entire thing.
They plant a tree at the beginning. What are you talking about?
I'm guessing he means like the killer's not tree themed. I mean, he's plant themed.
Yeah, he's plant themed. What the fuck do you expect?
This could have been a great movie if they had actually known what the hell they were trying to do. Instead, it's just boring. 79 minutes is a personal attack and an attack against decency. Time just doesn't slow down. It stops for you. And then it asks you, why are you watching this movie? My final verdict, it's not so bad, it's good. It's way too sloppy to be fun, way too boring to be funny, too self-aware to be accidental, but too incompetent to have been intentional. Nothing works, nothing lands, nothing is worth remembering. 0 out of 10, I would rather plant a tree and stare at it growing for 79 minutes than watch this garbage.
Go fuck yourself. I've got one more. It's not like, it's not really a review. I had trouble finding reviews. But I did find this thread where someone was like, holidays that are not movies. And it was basically like, we know about Christmas horror and Halloween horror and Thanksgiving horror and Easter horror. Do you have any holidays that are not movie titles? This will be a horror, blah, 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 blah. So I don't know. But anyway, we've got multiple people saying what they think an Arbor Day horror movie would be. We've got, and so hold on. We've got, go for Arbor Day / Earth Day. You could have some trees animate and start ripping loggers limb from limb. Or you could do it as a disaster piece and check out the Lumberjack reality show. I don't know what that means. Greenpeace could get really violent. That's not what Arbor Day is. It existed in 1990. Why the fuck are you pretending like this movie doesn't exist? Follow up. Arbor Day, a school trip to plant trees turns deadly when the trees decide to do some planting of their own 6 feet under.
Yeah.
I mean, once again, that's kind of what we got, but we already have an Arbor Day movie. It's This movie. It's Arbor Day.
Is it, Jay? Is it really? Because I don't see anything tree themed in this entire movie.
There was nothing tree themed in this Arbor Day movie.
Other than the fact that it occurs on Arbor Day, the killer is plant themed. It's themed around completely around Arbor Day for the entire movie. And they treat Arbor Day like it's a big holiday.
And it's Arbor Day. It's my time to grow. It's Arbor Day. Better reap what you sow.
Exactly.
Well, Jeff, here we are. It's Arbor Day. We've chained ourselves to some trees.
Yes.
And how close to us would you want to chain Elmer Jacobs?
That's tough.
Right now, it's just you and me. So wherever Elmer goes, he's probably going to be pretty close to us.
I mean, now, is there a bear in these woods where we're chained to this tree?
Because
that affects how afraid I am of Elmer Jacobs.
There could be a bear in these woods.
All right, then I'm okay. Chain him up on the opposite side of the tree from us.
All right.
But, I mean, I'm not going to be too scared until we confirm there are no bears roaming these woods. All right.
Okay. Well, there we go. So that's where we're... For right now, we're putting Elmer Jacobs...
On the far side of the tree.
On the far side of the tree.
Now, normally, I would be afraid because conventional wisdom says Jay should leave me behind because you don't have to be faster than the bear. You just have to be faster than your friend. But I think the bear is going to want to kill Elmer Jacobs before he's even remotely interested in me.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll be fine.
All bears seem to have some kind of vendetta against the Jacobs family.
Well, Jeff, it's time for this.
Oh, no.
Garbage Day!
Huh?
No!
Arbor Day?
Arbor Day. Jeff, spring has sprung.
Oh, no. Don't tell me you got spring-themed snacks.
You got spring Red Bull.
Oh, no.
I got you sugar-free.
Thank you.
I don't know. We got Dr. Doom Oreos because I wanted to check them out.
Not the Doom. Stuff of Doom.
It's Doom stuff, Jeff.
God damn it, Oreo.
I'm pretty sure it's green.
You're putting Doom stuff in here now.
And then,
I thought he was all weird and scarred up anyway.
Sour wild berry Skittles.
Oh, boy. Oh, this is apparently 4 of 4. So what are the other three?
I don't know, like all MCU Avengers themed. I think they're all blue.
Mmm. Oh, on a movie podcast I listened to, on a side note, not this one.
No one listens to this one.
I was going to say, actually, we had like 400 downloads last week, and it was all old episodes.
Holy shit. probably people getting ready for Arbor Day.
I mean, probably. We got to get caught up on that Arbor Day stuff. Apparently, this cream is supposed to change color.
So it's supposed to be, it's supposed to change to green and maybe is s'more flavored.
I don't know. All it says is Doom's got his stuff in here, Jay. I don't know. But no, they said Avengers Doomsday. Of course, Marvel is banking everything on Avengers Doomsday this December. And one of the commentators on this podcast was like, yeah, Avengers Doomsday is like that samurai in the movie who doesn't realize he's already been cut in half. Marvel's going to see the week turn out in December for the movie, especially if they don't move it. They're going to have to move it, because if it comes out the same day as Dune, I know what people are going to see.
That's not turned color. In fact, the cream was just black.
Yeah. I think we've been had. God, Doom, your stuff doesn't taste good. I can see what Sue Storm doesn't like about you. I mean...
Now, if this was Namor's stuff, we'd be talking.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, Doom's still better than her husband, but still. God, can you imagine being married to Sue Storm and being like, no, sorry, I have to be in the lab.
Science needs me, baby.
Proceeds to do nothing of note with this science, by the way.
I mean, these are delicious Oreos, but they're not turning green.
They're very good Oreos, but I'm not seeing any Power of Doom green Oreos.
Also, I like that Doom's face is on one of the sides.
Well, I mean, they have to be. Otherwise, it wouldn't be able to be sold in Latveria. This is, of course, a vast Oreo market. I could see that being a Doom scheme in the comics. He has all the Doom bots buying cases of these Oreos to make it seem like the sales were great.
That will show that fool, Richards.
Exactly. The Fantastic Four Oreos didn't sell worth a shit, but the Doom ones fly off the shelves. I gotta say, though, I'm still pissed these aren't changing color. What the hell?
Yeah, I'm furious about that. But otherwise, these are really tasty Oreos.
No, I like them. They're good, but the marshmallow kind of flavor does work. But yeah, what the hell?
I don't know. Let's do Cherry Sakura Spring Edition Red Bull.
Oh, boy.
And then we'll switch over to the...
Speaking of samurai being cut in half, it's time for my Cherry Sakura. Did you see the minus...
Play Sekiro, you cowards.
Did you see the minus zero teaser?
I've not. I think I saw a thing, like a still from it.
I was like,
Godzilla's coming to America.
I was going to say, it's a pretty normal teaser up until the end when he walks past the Statue of Liberty. I think it's going to be the first Godzilla movie that Japan has made set outside of Japan.
Hells yeah.
Well,
I wonder if he's going to battle Bootylicious Godzilla from the MonsterVerse movies.
Oh my God. That would be amazing.
Because he already beat Matthew Broderick Godzilla.
Yeah, that was in Final Wars. And also, the dig. It's only a one-line dig where they acknowledge it, but after Godzilla easily dispatches 1998 Godzilla, the main evil villain that's sending out all the monsters to attack Godzilla, he's like an alien that's captured all the other monsters. He's like, I knew that tuna head wasn't up to much.
And of course, the way Matthew Broderick killed Godzilla in the original movie was drunk driving a car into it.
Yes, on a winding Irish back road and then pretending like it never happened.
Yeah.
Even though Godzilla's family has tried to call him to account on multiple occasions for it.
Fuck, what the fuck, man? And I'm pretty sure ruined his relationship with Jennifer Grey. I'm pretty sure it's why she had to get that nose job.
I'm pretty sure. But yeah, again, what's going on with that? And what's going on with the whole Mark Wahlberg thing? Remember when he almost beat that Asian man to death?
Yeah.
I remember.
Yeah, I remember too. And then he was like, if I had been on those planes, 9/11 wouldn't have happened. Jay,
after having seen the Transformers movies, I'm pretty sure he could have stopped 9/11 if he'd been on that plane.
Maybe if it was Asian men flying the plane, he would have beat
elderly him Asian men, yeah.
Yeah. God damn it. This episode went off the rails.
If it had been elderly Asian men, or if Matthew Broderick had been on the plane with his car and enough alcohol.
That would have been hilarious. Like, the hijackers stand up, and then you just hear a car engine rev, and Matthew Broderick's just sloshed in the driver's seat, and he just runs over the hijackers.
I love Ireland. You're on a plane, sir.
How'd you get that car in here?
It's a Pinto. He was able to carry it on.
Oh, man.
But anyway, the Red Bull is pretty good.
Yeah, that's delicious Red Bull. Let's try these sour wild berry Skittles.
Oh, boy.
So it's all the regular flavors. We got sour berry punch, sour melon berry, sour raspberry, sour strawberry, and sour wild cherry.
All right, well, I guess let's try a few.
All right, I think I got one of each.
I believe so. I do as well.
I'm going to do cherry first.
That's what I picked too. I think it's cherry anyway. Not much sour flavor.
That's the thing. Sour Skittles are always kind of hit or miss on how they get coated. But otherwise, I think pretty tasty.
Not bad. Do the green one or the blue one?
Let's do green.
Green.
Sour melon berry.
Not really getting.
It's kind of the regular wild berry green.
Yeah, I was gonna say pretty normal.
That's the thing. No, I'm not complaining about any of these. I love wild berry Skittles. I think they're my favorite. But yeah, the lack of sour dust on them is kind of hurting these.
Yeah, I don't taste much sour.
I don't know if that's our packaging or if that's kind of gonna be the standard, because I think these are a thing now.
I've kind of been feeling like a lot of sour candies aren't as sour as they used to be. they've been cutting back on the malic acid powder or what?
Because
I've noticed, like, when I get Sour Patch Kids now, they're not as sour as they used to be either.
The sour strawberry is the weakest so far.
Either that or we're just getting old. We can't maybe. Taste the sour anymore.
Yep. Gotta sour it up for me, Sonny.
Exactly.
Sir, I can't.
It can't be that. We're not old, Jay. Tried the blue one.
I think I just did purple, and it's pretty good. But once again, not.
Not too crazy, no. All right, I'm doing purple. I mean, yeah, I like them. They're Skittles, but.
I think more for me, Wildberry Skittles are the ones with, like, there's no flavor that I just hate.
Mm.
Like, most of the Skittles, there's one flavor where I'm always like, oh, that one.
Gotta say,
like, the orange on the tropical Skittles or whatever.
I think the green's been my favorite so far, the melon one.
Probably cherry for me.
Mm. But yeah, I mean, if you like Wildberry Skittles, you like these. But don't expect anything too crazy on the sour unless we just got a bad batch.
Yeah.
Since we both have separate bags, that's probably unlikely. It's probably just they're not that sour.
Yeah. And all three hits. Probably the Skittles at the bottom.
Yeah.
But, like, not because they're the worst, just because there's varying flavor.
I think I'm putting the Red Bull at the top.
I think I am, too.
Yeah. I mean, the Oreos are Oreos. Would have been cooler if they glowed, but they don't.
I know, I wanted to see Doom's stuff turn green.
Exactly. I mean, what's the point? This could be anybody's stuff, Jay.
Yeah, for all we know, this could be Reed Richards' stuff.
Yeah.
It's probably what it is. It's probably a fucking ploy.
That would explain why it's so mid.
This kind of stuff is the only kind of stuff that could create a Valeria Richards or a Franklin Richards.
Oh, God. We really got to do that again.
Not a strong, powerful stuff like the stuff that Doom has.
Yes. I mean, how can you simultaneously be better at technology than Iron Man and better at sorcery than Doctor Strange, Jay? Unless you had some strong stuff.
Exactly. Went to hell and, I don't know, like, sold his mom's soul for magic powers or something like that? I don't remember.
I was reading, it was like, somebody was like, I don't even know how Doctor Doom would be a threat to the Avengers. I'm like, what the fuck do you mean? He's as smart as Tony Stark with advanced suit technology, and he's as good of a sorcerer as Doctor Strange. How would he not be a threat?
I always say, as a Marvel hero, you have made it if either you team up with Wolverine or you fight Doctor Doom.
Mm.
As a DC hero, it's Batman and probably Darkseid.
Yeah. No, if you fought Darkseid, you got cred.
Yep. But yeah, like that. So, like, that's pretty, you know, Doctor Doom is the threat of the Marvel Universe, as far as I'm concerned.
Also, have you watched Invincible, Jay? If you haven't, you should.
I think I've watched a couple episodes.
But Jason Mantzoukas has ruined Comedy Bang Bang for me, because now it just sounds like Rexplode is talking to me every time I listen to Comedy Bang Bang.
All right, Jason Mantzoukas tried to ruin the Taskmaster house, burn it to the ground, piss on the ashes. He didn't, and now Kumail's there, and he's so handsome.
Can you imagine doing all that to be in the Eternals? Ooh,
no one saw the Eternals.
I'm sorry. With apologies to Mr. Nanjiani.
Oh, we're proud to be part of the Christmas Podcast Network. I'm sure they would find nothing objectable to what we've said in this episode.
Oh, no. We get a letter from the Christmas Podcast Network. We love Matthew Broderick.
Matthew Broderick's Godzilla is our favorite movie. Jerry D will see you in totally rad court.
Oh, boy.
Speaking of Jerry D, congrats on being named one of the 100 best Christmas podcasts on something.
Oh, is that what that was? I saw something pop up about that.
Yeah, I think he was named one of the 100 best Christmas podcasts or something.
Well, yeah, he deserves it.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're the worst podcast ever, period.
I mean, I think on iTunes we're like just in the seasonal section, we're pushing 5,000.
bottom.
Yeah, we're close. We gotta be close to the bottom.
We're lower than the ones that had one episode and then stopped doing it.
Oh yeah, speaking of people who have few episodes and stop doing it, see, there's another horror for the holidays now.
I did not.
They're moving in on our turf. They started last year and they got like six episodes.
Oh man, I'm gonna look this up.
YouTube. So I was doing our usual, hey, what's going on with horror for the holidays? Because I get the weekly roundup or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wait a minute, this isn't our video. There they are, see? Six subscribers. They're coming for us.
Oh, those motherfuckers. Well, YouTube listeners, you know what to do. Go out there and downvote all six of their videos.
Can't even do that anymore.
Spiritually do that.
Yes. We'll know you did it because they don't show downvotes anymore, but still, you could still click the button.
Get in touch with us on social media. We're all the places at Horror 4 Holidays. That's Horror the number 4 Holidays. Send us an email. Let us know your thoughts on cherry soccer or Red Bull.
Yes.
Or sour wildberry Skittles or Doom Stuff.
Yes.
Or
the fact that Doom Stuff doesn't change color like they say it will.
Yeah, or the fact that it's Arbor Day. It's my time to grow. Arbor Day, better reap what you sow.
Arbor Day.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, let us know your thoughts on Arbor Day. Let us know if the thing I said about Arbor Day being a Nebraska holiday is a real thing. I don't know.
Yeah, they go big in Nebraska with that.
I think they do. Is there anything else? Subscribe, like YouTube, all that shit. Leave us a review, 5 stars, 0 stars if I could. Let us know you're a real sicko.
Yes, youtube.com/horrorfortheholidays. Not the one that has 6 subscribers and 16 videos.
Yeah, not that one.
Ours that started 3 years before.
We're so much better than they are.
Yes.
I'm going to go listen. I'm going to be like, man, this is so much better
they
than
do. See, they do like movie commentaries, like actual commentary tracks to go along with the movie.
I'm gonna live. I'm like, God, this is so much better. Just sell them the whole channel.
We're doing that. We're gonna start doing that on Patreon and be like, this is their channel, but on Patreon.
Here, you guys can just have it. I don't want to do it anymore.
No, we're going to war. We got a new enemy besides Dude Dad.
Oh yeah, and you know what, Jeff? I bet that horror for the holidays is associated with Dude Dad.
Oh, probably. It probably is fucking.
Probably Dude Dad. He got word about this.
Yeah, he's heard about our shit talk, and he's like, I'll start their own channel and surpass them.
So, joke's on you, Dude Dad, you piece of shit.
We're on to your game.
Anyway.
Anyway, thanks to the Christmas Podcast Network for hosting our crazy ramblings once again.
Yep. We'll see you next week with a stocking stuffer, and then finally back to Christmas horror movies in 2 weeks.
It's been a long road.
The horniest Star Trek show.
I mean, it is.
It is. Anyway, thanks for listening.
I grew up with T'Pol. I know what's going on.
Bye.